This is Paul Meyer speaking for the Sauk Prairie Historical Society and the Wisconsin Historical Society. And I'm at the home of Mrs. Annie Schneider here in Sauk City, Wisconsin, this Wednesday morning of February 7th, 1962.
64.
Oh, yes.
62, yeah.
I'm now going to interview Mrs. Annie Schneider, who was born on June
the 13th.
The 13th, 1864.
Roxbury, Dane County.
She was born in Roxbury, Dane County, Wisconsin. Mrs. Schneider, could you tell us some of your early memories of your early childhood, going back to some of your first memories that you have?
Yeah, I don't know, just how the kid it on, though. Yeah.
Well, can you remember some of your early childhood memories about when the Indians came to visit at your home?
Yeah.
Where was your home, and how was that?
In Roxbury, by the Green Lake.
Your home was in Roxbury by Green Lake.
And with kids, we always were so scared when we saw the Indians come. Ma never could leave us alone because we were so scared, you know. And generally she left the dog with us when she went out because our dog was a good protector for us children.
Can you remember anything just when the Indians did come to visit you?
Then they came and bought meat, pork, that was their meat, pork and milk. They always used to buy from us and then take it up in up at Green Lake, and there was a cave. And in that cave, they always used the house all winter long, the Indians. They slept there and just lived there all winter, and then they caught the marsh rats.
I see. And can you tell me, where is Green Lake in relation to your farm?
It's about two miles above. Green Lake was just about 2 miles above our farm.
North of your farm?
Yeah.
And do you...
East of our farm.
Well, Green Lake was 2 miles east of your farm.
Yeah.
Is there still... a Green Lake today, or has that dried up?
No, it's all dried up. It's all in marshland now. And the last couple of years, they even had corn planted there. It's all dried up.
Do you remember who lives on that farm today?
A Balwig.
Do you remember what Balwig that would be?
I don't remember what, because I don't know those people, but it's a Balwig that lives on it now. It changed a lot of hands since we left the place.
Can you tell me now, do you remember from what tribe the Indians came from, or what the names of any of the Indians were?
Well, they used to come up from the river. They came down the river, and then from there they came over towards us there in the winter, the house. In the summer they never was there, but in the winter they always housed up there, and then towards spring they caught the marsh rats, and they done a lot of fishing up there too. But that's all gone now.
Do you remember what any of the Indian names were?
No.
Did the Indians speak Indian, or could they also speak English?
No, they could speak English pretty good.
They could speak English. And
yeah.
Do you remember what year this would have been about? How old were you at that time?
Oh, I was just a little kid. It must have been all of 90 years ago. See, I'm 90, will be 98 now, and I was just a small girl when the Indians used the house up there. So it must have been about 90 years ago.
Do you remember any instances when the Indians came into your home?
Yes, I remember one Sunday. Ma and Pa had gone to church and left us children. That was the first Sunday that we ever was left alone. And then when we... Then at noon, they didn't come home. They went to a friend of theirs for dinner. And then we looked out of the window, and we were sitting at the table eating. Then we saw a tribe of Indians coming up through the field Oh, and we were so scared. And we took the little ones and went upstairs and sat upstairs. And the dog didn't hear him. The dog was down in the barnyard in the straw stack sleeping, and the dog didn't hear the Indians. And then they tried to come into the house. They rapped, and you know, and we was up so scared that we couldn't hardly breathe at all. We was afraid they might hear us. And then finally they packed up though and left then again. And then we packed the children up, the little ones, and we carried them up to the neighbor where Pa and Ma was. And then after that, they never left us alone then though for a long, long time.
Do you remember when the Indians ever did enter your home when your mother or father were at home?
Oh yeah, they used to come just regular and get their milk and their meat at our place. They always got the fat meat, you know, side pork and milk they used to get.
About how many came together when they came to your home?
There was only four or five of them was together when they come that way. To get stuff, to eat, you know.
Was this generally the Indian father and mother and the children?
The older ones. Yeah, the older ones. No, they never had, that they had little children that could walk around. There was some there with little babies in that cave, but not other children, you know, children that was old enough for school or anything, they never had with them. And then in the summer when they used to come around, then the women, they would make baskets, willow baskets.
Would you ever trade any of your pork or milk for the baskets then?
No, they always paid for that. And when we wanted a basket, we bought it of them.
I see. And when was the last time that you remember an Indian visit to your home?
Oh, that's a long, long time. But I just can't remember how long ago that is. But that's a long, long time. There haven't been any Indians around of that place, I don't think, now for the last 20 years, though, I don't think.
Oh, I would imagine that it would have been longer than that from that particular tribe.
Maybe longer than that.
When the Indians hunted, did you notice, did they carry guns or did they carry bows and arrows?
No, they had bows and arrows. I don't think that they carried guns. I never saw them that they carried guns. No, I don't think that they was allowed to carry guns. But they had bows and arrows, you know, where they shot with.
And now could you describe something about your home? Was it a log home, or was it a frame home, or a brick home, or what was it?
We had a real old-fashioned one-log room first. And then after we were some, the children was more children, then Pa built just one room, a frame on it. And in that log house, log room and frame, oh, we lived long, long. And then afterwards, then Pa built a frame, a three-room frame house on the place. The old man Drazen built that yet. For us.
And did you raise cows and hogs and chickens on your farm?
Yeah, first of all, I can remember that only was one cow on the place and just a few chickens. Then afterwards, you know, it always increased a little bit more. But that was, and then afterwards, you know, then it was hogs and cattle, and then then by that time, they sold the milk then too. The creamery got started, and they sold the milk then too.
Can you tell me now, you lived not too many miles away from the little crossroads town of Roxbury in Dane County?
No, by the church you mean?
Yes, by St. Norbert's Church in Roxbury.
Two and a half miles east from the Catholic Church.
And just how did you travel, when you traveled to church or when you traveled to town?
Walked most of the time.
Did you have a wagon?
Yeah, a lumber wagon. We had a lumber wagon, and we But we walked most of the time till later, after we got older and bigger, that Pa had a little more means. Then he got a three-seated wagon, kind of a family wagon, you know, where we went to church and when we went to Sauk. But most of the time, when we had something to sell, you know, butter and eggs, that was cheap. Then we carried it way over here to Sauk to sell it.
What was your father's name, and did he come from Germany, or was he born here in the United States?
I was born in Germany. His name was Reinhard Reipley. Reinhard Reipley.
And where was his home in Germany? Where did he originate from in Germany?
Wittenberg.
He came from Wittenberg, Germany.
Yeah.
And do you know what year he came to the United States?
That I don't know.
And did he settle immediately in Wisconsin, or did he?
Yeah, in Roxbury. They first was going to settle down in Milwaukee. And then, I don't know, they finally made their mind up and they went out of the city. That wasn't much of a city then, Milwaukee. And they finally moved out, though. And then they came to Roxbury and settled down on the old place that's called now Carl Reipley's place in Roxbury.
I see. And I see here now we have the family Bible from your family.
Yeah.
And maybe you can give us some history. If you just read some of the inscriptions here from the family Bible, I believe this first one has to do with your father.
Yeah. Reinhard Reipley, geboren den 3. July 1838 in
Fühlingen, it looks like.
Yeah, Oberarm. Königreich Wittenberg.
That was her father, Reinhard Reibley, who was born on the 3rd of July, 1838, in Königsberg, Miltenberg, Germany.
Yeah. And Maria Katharina Reibley, that's my mother, geboren den 4. Mai 1841, but that I don't know. But Ma wasn't born in the old country, I don't think. I think she was born in this country.
Her mother was born the 4th of May, 1841.
Yeah.
And how many brothers and how many sisters were in your family? Do you remember how many brothers and how many sisters you had?
I only had two brothers, Louis and Andrew. And there were seven girls.
Including yourself? Seven girls, including yourself?
Let me see one thing. Seraphim, geboren den 16. August 1895.
65, that was 1865.
65, yeah. In Dean County. And then George Reipley, he's dead, geboren den 11.
Juni
1867.
11th of June, 1867.
And Maria Veronica Reipley, geboren den 12. Dezember 1868.
The 12th of December, 1868.
Yeah. And Maria Reipley, geboren den 1. Dezember 1870.
Born the 1st of December 1870.
Yeah. And Anna Helena Reipley, that's your grandmother, geboren den 22. Oktober 1872.
That would be your moderator's grandmother. She was born the 22nd of October, 1872.
Yeah. And Peter Ludwig Reipley, geboren den 14. Dezember 1875.
14th of December, 1875.
Yeah. And
Reinhard, isn't that Reinhard?
Reinhard Andrew. Ripley. Got born then 19th of November, 1877.
Born the 19th of November, 1877.
Rockford, yeah. Yeah, that's all.
And then you lived in this, your entire family of seven girls and two boys. That was nine children in the family, is that right?
It's myself and Seraphine and George, Seraphine, and Veronica, three, and Mary, four, and Lena, five, and Kate, six. Haven't got her here on here this list though, and that's Mrs. Schwartz. Six girls, and Georgie, and Louis, and Andrew. Three boys.
Six daughters and three boys. Sons were born of this marriage.
Yeah.
And do you remember any of your other early school days? Where did you go to school?
In Roxbury.
And
the sisters' school.
That was a Dominican sisters' school?
Yeah, the Dominican sister.
And who was the priest at that time? Was Father Enama still at that parish when you went to school?
Yeah, first, I can remember him yet, when he used to have the mass in the little log cabin down by the creek, down towards Sauk there.
That was on the Joseph Eckstein farm.
Yeah, that's Eckstein farm now. And we went up the school up by where the church is now. And I can remember when they built it, the Roxbury Church yet. I can remember that. And that Father Enama, he was a very poor man, and he always took care of the poor too. When somebody would come and didn't have nothing to eat, he had an old priest cook. Her name was Christina. She came from the old country too. And when somebody would come there to see him that was poor, then Christina all had to make the people a cup of coffee before they could leave. And
And was Father Enama the parish priest when you were still a little girl going to school?
I was baptized by him too.
And Father Enama was the first parish priest.
Priest in Roxbury, yeah.
And now, can you tell me, did you go to, when you went to school, did you learn subjects in the English language or in the German language?
Just in the German. We didn't have much schooling that time yet, but what we learned was all in German. Had the catechism, and we had what they call the Bible, and a third reader. I guess that was all about. We didn't have no arithmetic at all at that time. And we children didn't have much of any schooling at all.
But did you learn writing and spelling?
Yeah. I always went to spelling school too in the winter, you know. They had the district school there too. And then in the winter, you know, the people would come together and have spelling schools in the district school. I was a pretty good speller that time, but them days is all over with.
Now, what was the district spelling school, was that run by the state of Wisconsin, or was that also run by the nuns?
No, that was run by the state of Wisconsin.
And was there a traveling teacher who came around to teach you spelling?
No.
Was that a local teacher?
It was just a local teacher, yeah.
And he was paid by the state?
I suppose so, yeah. Well, he teach too. That was that Grosso's his name. He was a teacher in the district school for a good many years. And that teacher, you know, he kept had the spelling schools and for his children.
And when you learned spelling, did you learn German words or English words when you took that spelling from the state?
Both. We had German and had English.
And then in after your years in school, can you tell me how many years did you spend in school?
In school?
Yes.
Well, I was only, I guess only in June I went to communion, then I was 12 years old. And then from there on I didn't go to school no more.
And did you start school when you were 6 years old?
No, I guess I was 8 years old when I started school.
And how far was the schoolhouse from your farm?
3.5 miles, as far as the church is now.
And did you walk to school each day?
We always walked. And with the winter, sometimes when the snow was too deep that we couldn't get through, then Pa would take us with the horses and the sled. But the most of the time, we always walked.
Did you ever meet any Indians when you walked to school?
Sometimes we did, yeah.
What, would the Indians talk to you, or
yeah,
what?
They would smile at us and wave us, and then they go on, though. They wouldn't stop to talk any to us, though, more.
Did you ever see an Indian village where the Indians lived?
No, except up at the Green Lake, then that in that cave. There they used to live almost the whole year round, but in the summer, it was, you know, when the marsh rats was housing there, then it was the most of them was there then. And then, you know, there was good hunting there and good fishing. But that's all away now.
And now tell me, did the Indians always live in caves, or did they sometimes make little huts, or did they live in tents?
They lived in the cave there by us. I don't know where, how it was other, from other places, but there by Green Lake, they lived in kind of a rock hole there, and so where they could keep warm.
Is that rock cave still there, or has that caved in?
No, I guess they destroyed it, though. It isn't much of it there no more. There's little things there yet, but not much, though.
Do you remember ever finding any Indian arrowheads there, or tomahawks, or any pieces?
Arrows, a lot of them in my younger days, but here the last years no more. There wasn't none no more. They were all picked up.
And did you ever play with any Indian children?
No, no.
The Indian children always stayed by themselves?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you ever remember seeing any Indian children?
I don't think that I ever saw children with the Indians. That, you know, real little ones or bigger ones. But not real play children, you know. I don't remember that I ever saw any with them that way.
Do you remember any instances when the Indians came into your home, if they ever said anything to your father, or did they speak in sign language, or?
No, they talked to Pa and to Ma, and they didn't come in the house, though. They generally stayed outside. When they come to get milk or meat, they just come to the door and rapped, but they wouldn't come in. I know the first Christmas tree we had, they came and stood by the window and admired the Christmas tree, and Pa wanted them to come in and look at it. No, they wouldn't do that because the papoose, they called us the papoose. The papoose, they were afraid of them, and they didn't want to scare us. They didn't come in the house, but they stood at the window when Ma had the Christmas tree lit so they could see it, and they thought it was so pretty, a Christmas tree.
It seems to me that I can remember that you told me one time you remember when the Indians slept in your barn. Is that right?
That I don't remember no more, no.
Perhaps I was mistaken about that.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
And do you remember how old you were when this first Christmas that you had your Christmas tree?
I must have been all of 14 years old. No. About 12 years, I guess, old.
That was the first Christmas that you could remember?
Yeah, that we had a tree. We always had a little Christmas. Ma always had a little Christmas present and something, some cookies or candy or something like that on each plate. Each one had a plate that way at the table that way. That I can remember.
But you never had any Christmas tree, those
no.
early first Christmases?
No. Oh, no. No. Then we was all, I don't think, then we was all kind of growing up already a little bit when we had the first Christmas tree.
And can you tell us some of your family traditions or some of the seasonal traditions, what you had, for example, like at Christmas time or at Easter time, just what you did?
Oh, well, always, you know, them days people went to church more than what they do now. When there was a holiday, then everybody was ready to go to church. And then the shoes and everything had, you know, that time you didn't have two pairs of shoes. There's two could wear a good pair of shoes when you would go to church or something. That was all just one pair of shoes you had, and that had to do for all. But the day before the holiday, then the shoes all had to be shined and cleaned so they were ready to put on the next morning. I had quite a time with the family to get everything ready then for. And I remember once too, then I was quite small yet. Pa was the town, and when he come home, he brought a couple of yards of goods along for dresses for, there was three of us girls, I guess. Because the next day they were invited to a place and Pa wanted to go so bad, but we didn't have no clothes to put on. And then he brought some goods along, and in the evening after Ma had us put all the bed, then she cut those little dresses out and sewed them all by hand. But the next morning when it was time to go to the party, she had the dresses all done and dressed us all up and took us along. I can remember that yet, too.
Do you remember what party that was?
No, that I don't know. I don't know where it was either.
Do you remember the first time you went into Sauk City from your farm?
That I can't remember either, but I know the first time that I went to Sauk City, I walked from our place with Ma up over to Sauk. Back and forward.
Was there a bridge at that time, or did you have to go across the Wisconsin River by boat?
We had to go by boat. That I remembered yet. But then afterwards, you know, there was a toll bridge. We had to pay a nickel when we walked over the bridge, and in a quarter, I guess it was, when you went with the team. A toll bridge.
Was that one way or back and forth?
That was back and forth. If you would pay your way when you went over, then you didn't have to. You got a ticket then, and then you didn't have to pay when you went back. The nickel too. That went for both ways.
Can you remember the time when before there had been a bridge across the Wisconsin River?
Yeah, I can remember that year too. They used to go from the boat with the boat back and forward.
Was it a type of ferry where they would load the wagon right onto the boat?
Yeah, and people that went just to town that way, that walked, they went by a boat, you know, just across back and forward. But with the team that way, that was kind of a ferry like. But they would go with the horses and the wagon and everything on, you know, to go across.
Do you remember what town life was like at that time?
There was only just a few houses. That Shanefeld, she had kind of a confectionery store, that Miss Shanefeld. And then I don't know, the first dry goods store that I remembered that was put up, the Cooney and
Rich Miller and Hans?
I guess them was the first ones that had a dry goods store here in town.
That was Cooney and Rich Miller?
Yeah.
And did you have an uncle in the tavern business at that time?
No, I don't think so.
Later on, wasn't there a Louis Ribley in the tavern?
That was my brother, Louis Ribley. That was my brother. He had the saloon on the corner where Becker's used to be. And now that
Yang?
No, on the corner. Who's the one that has got the saloon there now? That.
Oh, is that Otto Lehman?
Yeah. That's Louis' old place. That he had, I don't know how many years, he had a tavern in that building. And they lived upstairs and in the basement.
Do you ever remember any river traffic on the river, when any river boats came up the river or when any loggers came down the river? Do you remember anything like that?
Yeah, when they went down with the boats, you know, with the logs. We have the river all full of logs, and then, you know, they go from one log another. They had big sticks, you know, where they would push the logs. That's the way they took the logs down the river. The men had to walk from one log to another and get them always a going, you know. They would get caught, and then they wouldn't swim no more. Then they loosen them, you know, and that they got a going again.
Do you ever remember any fights between the loggers and the townspeople?
No, not that I know of. Yeah, years ago, people wasn't so you know what you might call jealous now. If anybody had a little something that was a little bit ahead, well, then they all kind of helped then. But now that's different now. If somebody gets ahead a little bit, then the next fellow is jealous already.
And that's a good lesson to remember. Now, can you tell us anything else about early river traffic that you can remember, where the loggers came from or where the loggers stayed?
No, I don't remember that, but they come from up north, down with the logs. All down. Sometimes the river would just be all loaded full of logs, all that you, what could get in there. And then you see the men, you know, going to walk over them logs and always give them kind of a push so they get and then when they got a going, you know, then they went sometimes a whole long stretch right through, you know. But when they got caught, you know, they always had to lose them. And that was the dangerous part. When they would get loose, you know, they would slip and fall into the water. But I guess there was very few that got drowned, though. There always were so many together that they got them out again.
And was this before the Sauk City Bridge was in, the old toll bridge, or was that after the old toll bridge was in?
Yeah, that I don't remember, no. I don't remember that. I remember, though, when the Sauk Bridge was built, but I don't know, was it before or afterwards? That I don't know.
Now, I'd like to change the subject just a little bit. I notice we're right on 350 feet right now, right in the middle of our reel number two, and I'd like to change the subject a little bit. You're almost 98 years old, yes. And you were born at the time when the Indians were still native to Wisconsin and made their living off of the ground here, rather than being a tourist attraction. Yes. They actually lived and made their home here as best they could. Now, since that time, you had to walk to school, and finally the wagons came and so on. But have you thought about what has all happened since that time? Now, if a child had to walk to school, that would be dreadful. Now they have a warm, comfortable, heated school bus to ride to school in. We have automobiles. We have airplanes. We even have rockets that they're now planning on sending to other planets. Just last month, the United States sent a rocket attempt to the moon, and we've already orbited several astronauts, and we're now attempting to send another astronaut into an orbital flight around our globe. So many, many new advances have been made in science, which previous to this time, nothing had been done equal to that all the way back to ancient times. Well, what do you think about some of these advances that have been made?
I don't think that it makes the people any better. It seems so, the more advances there is, and the more they go up, the wicked the people are getting. Don't you think so?
Well, you never know. Perhaps you have a theory there. Do you still keep up with the newspaper, and do you enjoy reading and hearing the news of the day?
Yeah.
Do you remember any early politics in the state of Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah, I remember. The Republicans and the Democrats, they was always on the fighty side. The Democrats, you know, they stuck up for their rights, and the Republicans, they stuck up for their rights. But there was so very few Republicans in my young days. It was only in the town of Roxbury, two men that voted the Republican ticket, and that was Herman Greiber and Gregor Fisher.
I take it then that your father was a Democrat.
Yeah, my pa was a Democrat.
And do you remember any fellas or any men that were sent to Wisconsin to represent your part of the county?
No, that I don't remember.
And where did you go when it was time to vote? Where did the men go to vote at that time?
They're down at the writer's saloon in the store. They voted in the store at the Roxbury. His name was Bartlemaeus Ryder. He was the grandfather of Oscar Ryder.
And is that saloon still standing?
Yeah, it's still standing on the corner. It's a big stone building. I don't know who is in there now, that Briney, but he lives in town now. He was the last one that was in that I remember.
I believe Norbert Kelcher, who is a contractor and who now resides in Roxbury, now owns that building.
Oh.
Can you tell us anything about what the saloon was like in those days? When did they open up in the morning, and when did they close in the evening?
They didn't have no regular time at that time. The saloons, they wasn't open all night like they are now. In the evening, when it was evening, then it was locked up. And in the morning, they wouldn't be so early either. But they had open on Sunday, though. That I remember.
Do you ever remember hearing any tales of burglars or of stories about Jesse James, the robber? Do you ever remember any stories like that?
I can remember of hearing it, but what it was, that I don't know no more. But I used to be scared to death, too, you know. My pa would read it for us, you know, in the paper, where they would, Jesse James, where he robbed but where that was, that I don't know.
I believe the closest he came was Northfield, Minnesota. Do you remember anything or any time anybody speaking anything about the Civil War?
Yeah, I remember that yet. Pa, you know, he was drafted to go in the war. And in the morning when he left, of course, we all cried, and Ma cried, and she said she couldn't see how she could get along with us children alone when Pa was gone. Then Pa went off. He said goodbye, and he went off. And then he said, well, he would see if he could hire somebody in his place to take his place. Then he would come back. But if he couldn't get nobody that would take his place to go, then he would have to go. But when it got evening, Pa came back again. He got somebody that volunteered and took his place, you know, to go in the army.
And do you remember any tales spoken in later years about any soldiers that actually had been in the Civil War?
Yeah, I had a couple of uncles that was in the war, came back again.
Had they been shot or wounded?
That I don't remember if any of them was shot or it was none killed, though. That I know.
And do you remember what these uncles' names were that had served in the Civil War?
One was Joe Lamberti, that was Ma's brother, and Hubert What was his other name? No, that was a brother-in-law to Mal, but I forgot his last name, though, now. But that Joe Lamberti, he was a brother to Mal. He came back, and I don't know, those that came back, it seems so they were all regular drunkards afterwards. After they got back from the army, they didn't amount to very much no more. It just seems so they just run a shiftless life.
You suppose it was because they saw so much killing that they...
I think that had something to do with it. That they just, you know, just lost all the confidence in people.
All confidence and all respect, no doubt.
Yeah.
Do you remember any battles or campaigns that your uncles had been in?
No. I don't know. I was too small yet that time, you know, to remember that.
And how old were you when you were married, and who did you marry?
I married Schantz Schneider in 18.
We're referring to the family Bible right now in the home of Mrs. Annie Schneider, who was born Miss Annie Ribley. The Bible, by the way, is printed in the German language and written in the old German script. Just a minute, perhaps I can help you find the page here. We're on the page that says Geburten, meaning birthday pages. Heiraten page. This is the marriage page right here.
Yeah, here. John Schneider and Anna Reibley haben den Ehebund geschlossen den
20. Juli 1908
to Madison, Wisconsin.
You were married in Madison, Wisconsin on the 20th of July, 1908.
My father's sitter.
And did you go on a honeymoon?
No.
Something that does interest me, and if you can remember any more about it, can you tell us any more tales about Father Enama that you remembered? Do you ever remember going to his home?
Yeah, very often. In the summer, when school went out, then the sisters always gave us a picnic. Then we walked down the river, down the creek by Father Enama, and then we would sing on the way down, all the way down, and then we go down along the creek. There was a man with the name of Krenewald. He always sat there by the creek there and was fishing. He was a cripple. But they helped them always in the morning to get by the creek, and in the evening they would help them home again. And there were a lot of nice fishing at that time. And then we kids would, the sisters, they would stay by Father Enama and Kristin, the cook. And the cook always would make the sisters a cup of coffee and they have a little lunch. And our children, she gave each one a lump of sugar. Each one of us children got a lump of sugar. Then we went down the creek singing yet, and then when we got to that old man Krenewald, then he always used to tell us fishing stories, you know.
That sounds like fun. I bet you enjoyed that.
Yeah, we surely did. And so we was always glad when that day came that we could go down and we would sing in German, Rieret die Trommel und schwenket die Fahnen.
Can you sing a little bit of that song? Do you remember how the melody went?
No. I never was no singer. I never could carry a tune. The only best singer in our pa, he was a good singer. He always sang on the choir. But Ma didn't have no voice at all. And for most children, there was only Barbara, and she was the best singer in our family. And I never had no tune for singing. But I just loved it, though.
Now, can you tell us something about the type of home that Father Enama had?
He had a little bit of a log shack, everything in one room, a little bit of an altar where he read his mass on. That was made out of logs, and then just a white cloth over it, and a few candles on it. That was the altar at that time. I don't think there was any seats in that little room, because there couldn't very many people go in at all. It was just one room. There he had mass, and there he lived and slept and ate in that same room.
Did the Indians ever come to his mass that you know of?
Oh, yeah. See, they had always had to go through there by Father Enama, going up the creek to get up at our place. Father Enama was a great friend of the Indians.
Then, in other words, the Indians pretty well followed the creek as their path or highway.
Yeah.
So there we have had a description of Father Enama's little home and chapel on Madison Creek. About all that remains there today, I've been there about 10 years ago, was some caved-in ruins of his little root cellar that was built into the side of the hill. Do you remember anything of that little root cellar?
No, I never was in there. No, I never was in there, but I remember hearing of it, though, that he fixed himself all up.
Now, how about your home, your little log cabin near Roxbury there? What was that like? How was it furnished?
Yeah, there wasn't much furniture in it. We lived till, I guess, we oldest children must have been all of the oldest one 10 years or 12 years old already, when Pa built another room to it. The first was just a log room, one room downstairs and one room upstairs. And then afterwards, then he built another room, a frame, to it for a bedroom. But first we had bedroom and kitchen and everything in one room. And we lived all through it too.
Did your mother do any spinning? Did she have a spinning wheel?
But I had. I had to do the spinning and the knitting for the whole family.
So you knew how to spin yarn then?
Yeah, very nice too, and I just loved it. And when we went away from the farm, I was so foolish and left my spinning wheel behind. And then Laura took it afterwards and took the axe and chopped it up and burned it up.
Well, that was a shame.
Yeah, it really was a shame.
And there just now I hear that it's 11 o'clock and just about time to sign off. I was wondering, do you have any other childhood recollections that might be interesting, that as you now look back? Is there anything in the way of your childhood memories of games that you played, or of trips that you took?
I never was on no trip, no. When I was 12 years old, that year that I went out to earn my own bread and butter. I went to Lodi and worked in Lodi in the hotel. And I was so homesick, I never will forget how homesick I was. I used to cry all day and all night almost. And still I had to fight it out. And from that time on, I always was among strangers till I got married.
Do you remember anything about early trains coming into town or any happenings around the railroad yard?
Yeah, I remember when the first airplane flew over town. That was on an afternoon. There was a wedding here, out here. I guess it was one of Ted Hirt's girls got married, or a Hirt girl anyway, got married to a, what was their name now? They moved us to Madison, and then afterwards they came back to Sauk again. And that day, the first airplane flew over town, and they had it advertised, and the whole town was crowded with people watching for the airplane. And that was Martha Hahn. She was there too, and she says, well, she's like, Sauk City is all right, yet it isn't stricken off from the map.
Wouldn't that have been something if she would see the rockets take off from Cape Canaveral, Florida today?
Yeah, I should say so.
Well, thank you very much for this interview.
It isn't so good no more, the memory, as it used to be.
Well, I think it's pretty fine considering that you're almost 98 years old. You'll be 98 on what day in June?
13th.
On the 13th of June, you'll be 98 years old. 13th of June, 1962, Mrs. Annie Schneider will be 98 years old. And thank you much for this interview.
Thank you.
This is Paul Meyer signing off for the Sauk Prairie Historical Society and the Wisconsin State Historical Society, signing off side two on the Annie Schneider interview.